This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
I have entitled our study of his 15th and final Psalm of Degrees, Joy in Mutual Blessing. Joy in Mutual Blessing. Or joy when blessing is both given to the Lord and received by man. Joy when blessing is both given to the Lord and received from the Lord by man, woman, youths, and believing children. Please understand as we continue our study that various forms of this term blessing are interconnected in our study. We have the verbal action of blessing. I say we have the verbal action of blessing. That's verbal action. And we also have the adjectival state of being blessed. I am blessed. The adjectival state of being blessed. And then we have the noun. The noun form, which is that gift of favor, as in the blessing, the noun. That gift of favor, the blessing of the Lord. And so it's a very dynamic word. It is verbal, it is adjectival, and it is a noun. And how every wise man ever born wants the blessing of God. In keeping with the systematic, common thread of continuity interpretation that I've given this little Psalter, these 15 Psalms, I will once again suggest that the inspired human author of this, the closing selection in the collection, may well have been King Hezekiah. And I finish the series even more convinced that if there's to be any appreciation of the 15, there surely must be a common thread. There surely must be continuity. These 15 are strung together like pearls on a strand. And there surely is a connection. These 15 not just stand in isolation with no common thread, no continuity. There is a theme. There is an history that draws them together. And I believe that history centers on the life of King Hezekiah and his great respect and affection for both King David and King Solomon. And so I suggest, even as we close out the series, probably next week, that Hezekiah may well have been the inspired human author of this last Psalm of Degree. There's much to learn about this hortatory command of 134:1. For it is a command, bless ye the Lord. Is not given as an option if we should happen to feel like it, if the moment should strike us. It's an overarching command. Bless ye the Lord. In the previous message, we saw that our English translation, "Bless ye the Lord," communicates the meaning of the Hebrew word barak, barak. I'm going to share with you what some of the study Bibles say about this Hebrew word barak. The Apologetics Study Bible says, here in Psalm 134, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist invited worshipers to praise the Lord. Barak, bless or praise. The word barak means enrich. Now, the question ought to occur, if God is in possession of all, if God is the creator and the owner of all, how can a worshiper such as me or you, or a Hebrew back at the time of Hezekiah, if God's the possessor of all, how can a worshiper further enrich him? What could God need from a bit of clay like me and you? Yet, the scriptures are full of the command to bless the Lord. Is it not a wonder that the God of the universe, the creator of everything, seeks to receive from his creatures a blessing? Isn't that grace? And isn't that amazing that God would want anything from me or from you? He's self-sufficient, always was and always will be. Yet the word teaches us that we can enrich the glory of God. We don't make him more than he is. We don't add to him, but we can add to his glory. We can, as they used to say down in Charlotte, North Carolina at Northside, we can make much of God. And we can make much of his Son, the Lord Jesus. We can bless or enrich or add to the glory of God. And we're commanded to do that. Praise or blessing God is the worshiper's obligation under the covenant, his expression of homage to the great King. Praise or blessing the Lord is an expression of homage, fealty, loyalty, commitment to the great King. Have you reiterated your commitment to the great King by blessing him last week? Have you reiterated your spiritual affection for the great King by blessing him or adding to his praise? By praising him, people extend his reputation in the world. By praising him, people extend his reputation in the world. One author brought this to the fore. I have not read many of his books recently because I learned that he's an arch Calvinist, and I am not a Calvinist. But he did one thing. He taught us that missions is about taking the news of the glorious God to the whole world. That's what missions is about. It's about taking the news of the glorious God to the whole world so that his name will be praised. He wants to be praised in Nicaragua. He wants to be praised in the Philippines. He wants to be praised in Canada. He wants to be praised in Peru. This is missions. Extending and amplifying the praise of God. Now, don't get upset with me. And at least take the time to think this one through. It's a very sad, tragic thing that people without Christ will burn in hell. That's a tragic thing. And Jesus came and died to save those who believe on the merit of his shed blood. But wait a minute. Even uppermost, even more important than keeping sinners out of hell is that God should be glorified forever and ever and ever. Now, you say, how can you say that, Pastor? I can say that because if the most important thing was keeping people out of hell, then there wouldn't have to be a hell, would there? Seeing people saved is part and parcel of the ultimate thing. That's the eternal glorification of God. That's the most important thing. You say, oh, no. The most important thing is keeping my loved ones out of hell. That's very, very, very important. But if your loved ones don't trust Christ, they will go to hell, because the one thing more important than keeping people out of hell is the glory of the God who made a way so they shouldn't have to go to hell. Are you following me on this? If you are, would you nod? Some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And if you're not careful, some of you will be good, jolly well 2016 humanists who say that man is more important than God. And you will say, well, it's all about man. No, finally, it's all about God and him being glorified forever and ever and ever. Human beings are important, very important, so important that Jesus died for the whole world. But he died to redeem human beings back to God, so that the ultimate result is the glory of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh, you say, well, no, I've got a man-centered universe. Then you need to get a bigger universe. It's all about God. And that is why fornicators who don't get saved and trust Christ end up in hell. And blasphemers who don't get saved and trust Christ end up in hell. Because in the final analysis, it's not all about man. It's all about God, and God will be glorified in the saving of men. So, by praising God, people extend his reputation in the earth. Oh, the Chinese people, have you met Jesus? Have you met him? You need to meet him and be saved. Why? So you Chinese people can glorify him forever. Oh, Hispanic people, have you met the Lord Jesus? If you've not met the Lord Jesus, you need to meet him. Have your sins forgiven. You will not go to hell, but you'll go to heaven. And in heaven, you'll praise him. You'll bless him forever and ever and ever and ever. To hear the politicians talk this cycle, you'd think it's all about them. It's not about them at all. It's all about the glory of God. And we are to bless God in the sense of extending his praise to every race and every language in the world, because the revelation gives us a picture of people from every tribe and every language gathered round the throne, blessing God and praising God forever and ever and ever. You want to know what the last word in the revelation is? The last word in the revelation is redeemed souls praising and blessing God forever and ever and ever and ever. And he's so great, he will be blessworthy and he will be praiseworthy forever and ever, and will never run out of things for which to bless or praise God. You see, if you have a man-centered universe, number one, you don't know how big the universe is. If you have a man-centered universe, you say, well, God is willing to sacrifice his glory at the expense of making men and women feel better. He will not sacrifice his glory at the expense of making men and women feel better. That's why he insists that there be a hell, because his glory is more important than my feelings or your feelings. His glory is the bottom line. And when we bless him, when we bless him in Nigeria, when we bless him in Papua New Guinea, a murderer and a rapist says to the missionary, come plant a church in my village. That's because the Smiths have been blessing God for 30 some years over there. And so that murderer rapist is now saying, come start a church in our village. That's all about the winning of souls, but especially and eternally, the glory of God, the glory of God in the winning of souls. The Apologetic Study Bible continues, not only do the blessers bless God, they receive his blessing in return. The worshipers in this psalm were priests, offering their praise in the sanctuary, the temple. As David instructed Asaph and musicians to do. 1 Chronicles 16, 5 through 7. Let's go on and look at the Holman Study Bible. The Holman Study Bible notes that bless and praise are the same word in the Hebrew. Bless and praise are the same word in the Hebrew. To bless a person is to speak well of him or her. To bless a person is to speak well of him or her. Now watch this. I want you to see the difference. When people speak well of the Lord, it is praise. I'll say that again, and I want you to read some verses with me. When people speak well of the Lord, it is praise. Turn to Psalm 34. Keep one finger in Psalm 134, but turn back to Psalm 34. When people speak well of the Lord, it is praise. Psalm 34, verse 1. Would you read it with me, please, together? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There is parallel construction. Do you see it? It's Jewish poetry. It's saying the same thing in two different ways. I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise. The praise is the same as the blessing at all times, blessing, and then his praise shall continually at all times be in my mouth. when people speak well of the Lord, it is praise. Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. And read that with me. And we'll read verse 2 as well. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2 together, please. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When people speak well of the Lord, or when people bless the Lord, it is praise. Now let's turn it around and see the difference, please. When God speaks well of a person, that person is blessed. When people bless the Lord, that's praise. But when the Lord or God speaks well of a person, that person is blessed. Same verb, just a different direction. With praise, man is blessing the Lord. And with a blessing, the Lord is looking with favor upon a man or a woman. In Genesis 24:35, Abraham's eldest servant, probably Eliezer. Remember Eliezer? He was sent to get the bride. I'm glad I didn't have that job. Eliezer was sent by Abraham to get the bride. And when Eliezer found the bride, he went to Rebekah's family. And what did Eliezer say about Abraham? Watch it. Eliezer said, "The Lord hath blessed my master. The Lord hath blessed my master Abraham greatly." When God speaks well of a person, that person is blessed. Now turn to Numbers 6. Oh my. Numbers 6. This one is so precious. I'm going to tell you an open secret. And she's here tonight. And I want to thank Millie Drabenstott for doing this. When she writes a card, she often puts this reference. I watched it. When Millie sends a card, she often writes Numbers 6:24. Have you got it? Numbers 6:24 through 26. Now we're talking about the direction that is from God to men or women or children. Number 6, let's read 24 through 26 together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is the direction where the blessing is coming from God down to man. The Lord bless thee. The Lord favor thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. I'll tell you what, I want the smile of God, don't you? I don't want the frown of God. Friday morning, Jane and I went to say farewell to Aletha Davis. They've lived in that house for 46 years. She's been in this fellowship for considerably over 40 years. And you know, when it's time to say farewell, it's just like docking the tail of a fox terrier. This is my philosophy. Oh, it's profound. Oh, this is heavy. This is deep stuff. When it's time to say farewell, there comes a point where you say farewell and you have to turn and part. So we were there, and I said to Jane, "Take hold of Aletha's hands." And Jane took hold of Aletha's hands. And then two of Aletha's daughters were there, and they instinctively reached out their arms. And so we made a little circle. And as Jane held Aletha's hand, I quoted, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I'm sad that we're losing Aletha, but I still want God to smile on her, don't you? I still want the Lord to bless her. She'll find a local church in the Chattanooga area. I want the Lord to bless Aletha Davis. I want Him to smile upon her. I want Him to pour His favor upon her as she continues to walk with the Lord in His ways and His commands. And so it's praise when I bless the Lord and when He blesses me, it's favor, it's smiling, it's Him lifting up His countenance upon me and giving me peace. Upon the return from the exile in Babylon, the term servants of the Lord, back here in Psalm 134, upon the return from exile in Babylon, this term in the second phrase of verse 1, this term servants, after the return, could refer both to the priests and other faithful ones in the Jewish community who had a humble, God-glorifying spirit of praise. We don't have time to track down the references, but the servants of the Lord, not only the priests after they came back from Babylon, but others who had a humble, God-fearing, God-glorifying spirit of praise. Psalm 19, verses 11 and 13 say that the servants of the Lord are those who fear Him, those who are humble before Him, those who want to give Him glory. So you and I can get in on Psalm 134. Do you consider yourself to be a servant of the Lord? You're not a Jewish Old Testament priest, but are you humble before the Lord? Are you contrite? Are you broken in spirit? Though not a Hebrew priest, you too can be a servant of the Lord, just like the humble ones who came back from Babylon. And though not all of them were priests, if they were God-fearing and God-glorifying, they became included in that term, servants of the Lord. The Jewish priests had a very special ministry, but I don't believe that God wanted to hear more from the Jewish priests than what He wants to hear from me or you. I believe God wants to hear just as much from me and you as He wanted to hear from those Jewish priests and those humble Jewish people after they came back from Babylon. You can also read about the servants of the Lord in Psalm 79, verses 2 and 10, and Psalm 86, verses 4 and 16. Both congregational singing and singing by the priests at the temple often occurred in the evening. All ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord, bless the Lord. Congregational singing and the singing of the priests there in the sanctuary, the temple, often took place in the evening. The Holman Study Bible concludes this way: the blessing of the Lord, from the Lord down to man, represents divine attention. The blessing of the Lord represents or speaks of divine attention or favor. Someone loaned Jane and I a video about the universe. It was Dr. and Mrs. Godfrey. And I suppose that has intensified my emphasis on a God-centered universe. If you and I think we're the center of the universe, then we are so proud. Does it amaze you that you, and I've come to the place in my prayer life, in my study, of calling myself less than a speck of dust. Do you realize that space goes on and on and on and on and on? Do you realize how many galaxies there are? I can't comprehend. But the Bible teaches that God wants to look at you, smile at you, bless you, or favor you. And little old me, when I'm on my knees there in my study, I try to stretch my imagination. And you know, I've only been as high above the earth as an airplane. And that's too high for me. I will drive an automobile when I can. But my soul, when we come back to O'Hare or Midway, you know, when you're way up there, 30,000, the cars look very small. The limousines coming into O'Hare, the limos look very small. Persons, when you're coming into O'Hare, look like just specks, half a speck of dust. But God wants to favor us, smile upon us, and bless us as small as we are. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. The wonder that God loves me and wants to bless me. You'll see that the blessing of the Lord represents divine attention from the Lord. In Psalm 128, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 14, 29. Before you go to sleep tonight, get down on your knees. Say, God, why do you ever pay attention to me? Why do you ever pay attention to me? Thank you, Lord, for granting me your blessing. Granting me your attention and your favor. Now, I want us to continue by seeing just a few of the times the verbal command to bless the Lord occurs in the Bible. We'll just look at a few and then I'll finish up. Let's turn to Psalm 34, 1 again. Psalm 34, 1. I trust as we're going along that you're getting a greater appreciation as we go along. Read it again. Psalm 34, 1. Again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And 63:4. Do you have it? 63:4. Let's read it together. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Do you see the continuous nature of blessing the Lord or praising Him? I will bless thee while I live. There's no escape clause. There's no escape clause. There's no option, no out. I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And then 68:26. Are you there? 68:26. Read it with me. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. The priests added their little part to the reputation and the grandeur of God. And the congregation, the servants of the Lord, good God-fearing men, Those in the congregation were to bless God, even the Lord. And then turn to 96, Psalm 96. Verse 2, 96:2. The first word is sing, and we'll also read verses 3 and 4. 96:2-4. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So you see, though you may never have thought about it before, there is a connection between blessing God and the glory of God and the nations right here. If you say, what is this business of missions being about spreading the glory of God? Well, it's right here in your Bible. Declare his glory, bless him among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Would that include South Africans? And would that be missions? Would that include Ireland? And would that be missions? He is to be feared above all gods. Would that be missions? Would that be missions among the Muslims? Of course it would. As we worship God, murderers and that rapist. You know, we need a church in my village. For he is to be feared above all the gods in Papua New Guinea. I've been pretty busy the last couple of weeks working on that leak in our basement. Maybe if I bless the Lord a little more, my new neighbor, would be more attracted to the gospel. Maybe if you bless the Lord, you know, just over the fence, about the roses and the daffodils and those pesky rabbits, maybe if you bless the Lord a little more, doors would open more widely for evangelism, soul winning. It's part of the message. Ken Ham believes that. Indeed, Ken Ham's approach to evangelism, it starts with creation. We're living in modern paganism, and this election is a reflection of modern paganism. We've got to get way back and start at the beginning with the glory of God in creation. Because if they don't believe there's a creator God, they're sure not going to trust Jesus, are they? They have to know there's a holy God and they're accountable to the creator before they're even going to think about the need to be saved. So Dr. Ham starts with the glory of God and the person of God and the power of God in creation. And we have it right here in Psalm 96, verses 2 through 4 and 5, and then Psalm 103 as we work toward the close. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 103, 1 through 3. Let's read these verses together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And on we could keep reading. Then look at verses 20 through 22 in the same psalm. Let's read 20 through 22 together. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then 104 verse 1 together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And then verse 35 together, 35 in 104. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. You see, there are the two terms together. Bless the Lord and praise the Lord. When men bless God, it is praise. Then the final passage, Psalm 135. Psalm 135. That's the psalm that comes right after the last psalm of degree. Psalm 135, 19. Let's stand for this. Let's stand and let's lift our voices in a crescendo of praise as we are blessing the Lord for the final time for just a few moments. Because I'm certain we will bless him in our last song. 135, 19, together. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye. When men and women bless the Lord, we are praising him. When the Lord blesses us, he is favoring us, or he's giving us his attention. In the next message, we're going to talk about covenant obligations. We'll see how the Jews were reminded by Ezra that blessing the Lord was part of their covenant obligation. Blessing the Lord was part of their covenant obligation. And when they backslid, they stopped doing it. Now, don't you think if you expect God to bless you, you should bless him? Don't you think that? Isn't that fair? If you want God to give you his attention, if you want God to favor you, don't you think you could give a little time in blessing him or praising? Isn't that fair? I think that's very fair. And I think that we get, don't jump all over me. I think you and I, as specks of dust, come out the big winners, don't you? Made of clay. We spend a little time blessing him, praising him, and he favors us with eternal life and fellowship here and now. Oh, bless the Lord.
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.